Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture is Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you all this morning?
Good.
Good. Sounds good. We thank God. Thank you, brother, for reading the scripture from Matthew 5:14. Now, thank you all for being here this morning, taking time off your busy schedule to come and listen to the word of God. May He be glorified and the proclaimer be nothing. At this time, if you will, will you please stand for maybe 1 minute and just go around and greet somebody, shake somebody's hand? No more than 1 minute, please.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah. You'll have to hold the mic up because it's hard to hear you when it's down.
Wait, oh, man.
You're holding it
down
here.
Oh, okay. I will just put it to my mouth then.
Yeah.
I had the same problem the other time. How are you doing, Herbert?
All right, how are you?
Good, I'm good.
Really?
How are you doing, Deborah?
I am excellent. How are you?
Good. How is that little one?
She was baptized.
I know, yeah. I was here last week. I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Try to live that life, okay?
This is your brother now. Isn't that awesome?
My brother is great. Okay, thank you, church. We can take our seats now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hickman Road Church is a wonderful congregation. They are good at many things. But especially greeting somebody. We know how to greet one another. And that's a good thing. I mean, it's a command of God. The Bible says, well, greet one another, isn't it, sir? It's a command. And commands are meant to be kept. Amen. Okay, about a month ago, I started a series on the course of true discipleship. And if my memory can serve me right, I've had about two lessons on that, looking at each letter of the word disciple and try to dissect it, try to examine it, and how we ought to grow as disciples of Jesus. And I have dealt with the DIS in disciple. The D stood for discipline. We had a lesson in discipline and interest. And then about 2 weeks ago, I had another one, the S, which stood for salt. We are the salt of the earth. This morning, I want us to look at two other letters. After S comes C, and then comes another I. So this morning, I want to turn the C as caring. Praise the Lord. True discipleship is caring. Caring for one another. We are to care. The first century church was a very caring church. The Bible tells us in a very short time, the church has grown up to over 5,000 human beings. Because they were very caring, they cared for one another. And not just for one another, they cared for those around them. Hallelujah. The church, to be a caring church, her presence has to be felt within and without. You are to know those around you, else you can't bring them to Jesus Christ. So the church, through discipleship, is caring. What is caring? There might be a variety of definition for caring. sharing is a broad world. I mean, it's very open. People in the world care. Christian care. But I'm talking about Christian caring. I'm not just talking about any kind of care. Caring, what I got here for the first is that caring is compassion. Hallelujah. Caring is compassion. Having pity. Feeling sorry for somebody. Putting their condition, you look at this obvious. There's a situation, I care for this person. Because it's about deep felt emotion that this person needs some kind of help. Hallelujah. Compassion. Having compassion on a person. The Bible says in John chapter 6, after the Sermon on the Mount, when he came down from the mountain, a crowd met him. And this crowd had been following Jesus for I don't know how many days. And then Jesus saw them that they were very weary, they were tired. And then the Bible tells us he had compassion on them. Jesus was a very caring person. And so as Christians and true disciples, we ought to exhibit, we ought to display the compassion of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If we cannot exhibit Jesus' compassion, we cannot qualify as true disciples of Jesus Christ. To be true disciples of Christ, we need to be caring people, caring Christians, caring people of God, caring people at Higman Road Church of Christ. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we are not caring. Hallelujah. It's all you preach, you say we are not caring. Higman Road is a very caring church. But every message we give here, every lesson we give, is what? Build us up. Isn't so? We are told by the Apostle Peter, grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So every message of Christ, every teaching of his word to just help us grow in the Christian life. So though we are caring, we need to care more. True discipleship is compassion. Yes. Compassion led Jesus to the cross. Jesus felt sorrowful for the world. He felt pity for the world. When he looked all around him, was sin. A world driven by sin. A world that was running. A world in a destiny for total destruction. And Jesus cared so much about he had compassion in the world. And because of his compassion, Jesus was led to the cross to die a shameful death as a criminal. Because of me, because of you, and because of those who are out of the church. Hallelujah. Compassion. So his disciples need to also care. We need to help out of their crisis. We don't know what type of crisis each of us bear. I got my crosses that I bear each day. You have yours that you bear. Our crosses could be different things. Sickness, diseases, financial problem, poverty, I mean, a lot of things could be our crosses in this life. But we need to help to carry other people's crosses as Jesus took our cross for us. Compassion. True discipleship, as I said, is caring. And caring is also feeding the hungry. When this mountain had been behind Jesus for so long, when Jesus looked at that crowd, he had compassion on them. And then he asked the disciples. He asked Philip, how can we feed this huge group? And Philip too went and consulted Andrew. Andrew had to give him some ideas. And then, long story short, Jesus, through the miraculous working of God, fed 5,000 people because he had compassion on them. Caring and feeding the hungry. Higman Road Church, we are doing so well. I must thank us. I thank God for the Japa ministry, and thanks to those who are involved in our ministry. I haven't had the time to be involved, but I tell you, thank you all so much. I highly appreciate that. That's a very good caring ministry. There's another thing you may be involved in, Cote d'Ivoire. Meals on the Heartland, helping those who need food. Yes, this is what caring is all about. That's true discipleship. It proves that you care for those who are hungry. Praise the Lord. Are you sleeping? I don't think so. So caring is feeding those who are hungry. I don't want to go into my personal story. But this man standing before you, I've had a day in life where I lived on water. I wasn't fasting. I was growing up, I didn't know Jesus. But because of abject poverty, I could not afford one day's meal. And I lived on water on a day, I still remember that. It just says, you know, how caring we are to be, you know, especially when we think about those who are hungry. I don't want to go deep into that because I have enough things to talk about. Caring is telling someone, I am with you when the whole world has accepted you. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, say, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, sister. Even though the world passes by. The world passes by you like the leader and the priest that led that man by the water to the good Samaritan king and cared for him. That's how caring the church needs to be. That's how caring we need to be. When the world forsakes us, somebody should care for us. Caring is listening to what others have to say. Listening to what others have to say. That's caring. You know, there are people who listen very little and talk too much. They listen very little and talk too much. I heard one time that somebody said, God gives us 2 years to hear more. Hallelujah. He gave us 2 years so that we can listen more. Listen to the plight, the problems, the hurt of other people. So that we can provide solutions. And he gave us one mouth to talk less. But on the flip side, we turned it upside down. We said, oh God, you are not the all-wise God, man. You told us you gave us 2 years, but I would do it the other way around, Father. I will talk more and hear less. Are we not guilty sometimes of that? Yes. But we need to pay more attention. Look at the things that are going on around us, not only in this church, around our neighborhood, the money, other places. What's going on there? Those things will tell us how to care. As a church, though we are caring now, we need to care more. Hallelujah. So that's James 1:19. So wherefore, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Be quick to hear, slow to talk, and slow to get angry. But some of us get angry very fast. We get so angry. Some of us are angry. They throw their phone in the water, they throw their computer. Especially when your computer freezes. And you, is that permitting to do what you say? I throw this into the water and just forget about it. But then you put yourself in problem because you will be the same person going tomorrow to buy the computer from Best Buy. Yes. So we need to control our anger, people. We are human beings. God did not make a mistake. In Ephesians 4:26, when he said, do not let the sun go down on your anger. God was not mistaken. It's a command. Once you let the sun go down, it becomes one day. One day will turn to 1 week. 1 week will turn to 1 weeks. Then comes months. Then years. You are bearing the anger. You are destroying yourself. We need to let the anger go. People get angry, you know, wives and husbands get angry. Somebody gets so mad, and then you think about a wedding, they say, oh, how did I love this woman so much on that wedding day? I mean, I was wearing a gown, drinking over one. No, I was kissing. I attended a wedding yesterday, and it was fun. I saw this guy, he took care of his bride, I'm so happy. And then sometimes, you know, couples will make, argument, whatever, and sometimes a lot of spouse will kiss fish for a very, very long time. Brethren, it builds up a lot of problems. We need to do away with anger as true disciples of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to be good listeners and do away with those things. Caring is helping those who cannot help themselves. Caring is helping those who cannot help themselves. I just talked about the guy beaten by thieves and robbers that was left half dead by the wayside. And then strangers came and ministered to him, helping those who cannot help themselves. They cannot help themselves. Let me ask us a question. Have you been knocked down before? Is anybody in this audience who have not been knocked down by something before? Can I see your hands? Okay. But I have been knocked down several times. I trade the stock market and the foreign exchange market, and it knocks me down several times. And sometimes I just want to throw the computer away and say, well, I resign. But when you are knocked down, you know, you have to get up. And how good is it when somebody passes by? We can't help yourself. You see that friend that passes by, this neighbor that passes by, see you falling down, and Richard is saying, well, lifts you up and drops you off and send you on your way to continue going. That is caring. That is caring. That's what Christianity should be about. Caring for one another. Sometimes I watch the TV and there's this commercial. They say Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Have you heard them? What is their slogan? Care that never quits, right? That's how the Church of Jesus Christ should be. Giving care that never quits in and out of the church building. If we do that, my people, we won't have seats here for the world to sit. We may have to expand the building someday. We are caring now, but we need to care more. Let's continue looking around us to see what really matters most and care. As I was preparing this lesson, God brought something to my mind. And he said, like, you know, he brought this into my mind. But what if the whole world were a careless world? So what if the seven billion people are having this problem? They were all careless people. Then I thought to myself, I said, oh, but Lord, then the world would be a stinking world. It would be a stinking world because the dead would have to make their own casualties. And the dead will have to bury themselves. Because the world, one person will not care to bury the dead. So everybody, people have to care. So thank God the world is not a careless world. Thank God there are caring people in the world. Thank God there are good people in the world. That if somebody dies, at least that person will be buried. Hallelujah. It's not a careless world. Because if it will, there will be a lot of diseases and sicknesses in the world because I'm here. God forbid when I die, a careless world. When I fall dead, I'm in. Maybe I just fell dead. I mean, nobody cares. The whole world doesn't care. It will be the end of Church of Christ. But nobody will come and sit in this stench. So it's good that the world cares. But Christians need to care more than the world. We got the United Nations. WHO showed that feed hungry people around the world. Those are very great things. The church needs to also do that, and even beyond. That's it on caring. The eye in the world disciple, the next eye, we have two eye in the world disciple. This other eye I term it as illumination. Illumination simply means light. Jesus said in our passage of his word by our brother, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid or hidden. Why can it be hidden? Because it's still sitting on the hill, right? Everybody who passes by, look up. But if they're sitting right in the valley, but what did he say if you're sitting in the valley? Tell me now. Who will see such a city? It will be very hard to see. They said it's sitting on the hill. So Jesus said, the city is sitting on the hill. That's how a lot of Christians need to shine. Shine the world, everybody. So the whole world will see our light and be drawn to Jesus Christ and become his disciples, true disciples indeed. The light of the world. The light of the world, our light need to shine. In 1 John 5:1-5, he said, in him, in Jesus Christ, in God, there is no darkness at all. Darkness is a metaphor for sinful living. And light is a metaphor for what? Living a sincere, truthful, devoted Christian life. That is the light, being the light. Being the light. That's what being the light means. Being a light of the world, we have to develop the courage to tell sin what it is. We have to develop the boldness to say, yes, this is sin. We have to develop that boldness. Well, no, from now I'm not sinning. No more sin. We have to recognize what sin is and desist from it. We have to say no to sin and yes to God. If we are lights on the hilltop, like the city set on the hill. Are we lights? I'm sure we are. We are lights of the world. That's why we are here this morning in the house of God. Something drove us here this morning. And it was a compelling spirit of God Almighty. Because we are light. Hallelujah. Sometimes we want to hide our deeds, we want to hide ourselves. When you see someone, or you may not even have seen the thing, but if someone looks right, looks left and looks right, before doing something, most likely that person is what? Getting him or herself involved in doing something wrong. Because he's afraid. He looks left, looks right, afraid that somebody will see him or her and then before committing, I think. But if I'm doing what I'm right, it will always right. You know, one who does what is right doesn't care who looks at him. If you are doing something right, then you don't care. You don't care what the world thinks about it. You are not fearful. You are not afraid. You don't care what somebody will say about it. But once that thing is wrong, you want to let all your, look over your shoulder. Let you look right. Watching to see if somebody is watching you. And most likely, you are trying to do something evil, something sinful. In the manner of Moses, in the book of Exodus, Moses was a chosen deliverer of Israel. Moses, the Bible tells us, after growing up as a man, he went to walk around someday, and then he saw an Egyptian killed an Israelite, his own brother. And then the Bible tells us, say Moses, he looked this way, and Moses looked that way. Moses looked left, and he looked right. Why was he looking left and right? To see if somebody was watching him. And when Moses saw nobody, what happened? Moses killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Moses was impatient. He could not wait for God's time. God had a time to deliver the nation of Israel. But that was not wrong. Moses got around impatient. This was no more children. They are killing my brother. I'm going to pay them by killing their somebody. And then when Moses later heard, he saw two brothers fighting. He went to Padre and said, well, oh, you want to kill me? They said, well, you killed that Egyptian. He knew that somebody saw him. And most importantly, God Almighty saw him. Hallelujah. No matter where we are, we can be in the deepest darkness. We can be in a where we are, I mean, in an enclosed building. We can be in a cave. Where will we find ourselves? We cannot hide ourselves from God. We cannot hide ourselves. We need to shine as lights so others will see our good works, glorify God in heaven, and convert more souls to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let our light shine. Let our light shine. When you are doing right, you don't care. But when something is not right, you will look in all directions, north, south, east, and west. Yes. Let us shine our lights, my people. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Jesus is our light. We are to follow him as our examples. Because he is a light, he makes us a light. And then being the light, we have to follow in his footsteps. Doing the things that Jesus did. Behaving the way Jesus behaved. Caring like Jesus cared. Having compassion like Jesus had compassion. And so on. Because he's a light, we are the light, and we should care. Moses was to shine as the light of God in the land of Egypt. He was a point of light for the people of Israel, even for the nation of Egypt. Without no problem through him, a lot of Egyptians would have been converted to Jehovah God. But Moses himself was impatient. And you know, he disregarded the light of God and decided to solve the problem on his own. Brethren, the question is that a road to run by ourselves? Hallelujah. It's a road that is run by looking at Jesus, focusing on him, who is the perfecter and finisher of our Christian faith. This morning, there's a lot to say about discipleship. But these are just two letters we examine just to, you know, encourage us all as we strive to live this life for Jesus Christ. Because the Christian race is not a small one. This race is tough. I don't know about you, but this is a tough race. This is a tough race. It's tough. If that thing could put the Son of God on the cross to die, Do you chase an easy race? It is a tough race. But God, we can shine as light, and we can be caring like Jesus, having this compassion, so that more souls can be brought to the kingdom. Hallelujah. As I conclude this message, let's continue to pray in our hearts to our Lord that God will help us to be caring people, the sea of discipleship, and be people of light, living the way Jesus lived, so that in the end we can have a place with the Lord in heaven. I mean, I can't imagine that. That is the greatest blessing I can imagine. Being together with my brothers and sisters in the place that the Almighty God has prepared for me. I mean, what is beyond that? But brethren, we need to live the life. As I said, the race is tough. But with God's help, we can make it. As we sing the sing of a song of encouragement this morning, if you need prayer for the shining of your life, of your light, to have the light of Jesus in your life, that your light will, shine, you can walk forward and, we'll pray for you. The church will pray. We've got a powerful praying people here. They will pray. If you need prayer to be a more caring individual, caring to disciple, to help for the growth of the church, the expansion of the church, the expansion of the word of God, the Lord is waiting for you also. You can come, and the church will pray for you. Who else can pray for me better than the children of God? Nobody. So may we stand and sing our song of encouragement. Thank you. And may God bless you. Amen.